The West Live. The West Live. With Ben O'Shea. Brought to you by the WA Local Government Association. What's your happy place?
International diplomacy might have taken a back seat to national interest over the past year thanks to COVID-19, but the G7 summit in Britain over the weekend signalled a return to normalcy is on the way. And even though Australia is not technically a G7 nation, Prime Minister Scott Morrison was there, rubbing shoulders with leaders from the world's biggest advanced economies. Joining me now to unpack all the G7 news is the West Australian's federal political editor, Lani Scar. Welcome back to Perth from Canberra, where it's cold in Perth, not quite as cold as it is in Canberra.
Definitely not. It's much warmer here. It's like going on a Hawaiian holiday.
And now, Scott Morrison wasn't on a holiday, but he got to leave the country, one of the very few Aussies who have in the past year. And he called into Perth last week on the way to G7, and there was a bit of saber-rattling around China. That proved to be a bit of a preview to the key talking points of G7, didn't it?
Yeah, it's the third year in a row that Australia has been invited as an observer to the G7, this G7 Plus dialogue. These meetings were really key because it is the first time that we've gotten all world leaders that are part of the G7 together post-COVID. So China was obviously top of the dialogue. And the other key thing that occurred over the weekend was Prime Minister Scott Morrison met President Joe Biden for the first time. But Boris Johnson crashed the meeting.
I was going to ask you, were you surprised to see Bojo crash that meeting? Because normally, you know, with kind of the first official face-to-face meeting between an Australian Prime Minister and a US President, it's a pretty important relationship. You would think it would maybe not have the British Prime Minister just rocking up.
I think it's quintessentially Boris Johnson that he just decides that he wants to show up to the meeting too. He probably felt that it's my show, it's my G7, I'm going to rock up to any meeting I want. It's my party.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though it perhaps was not supposed to happen that way, it was a strong signal that the US, the UK and Australia were having a 40-minute meeting together to talk about regional security, to talk about our partnerships going forward. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is on his way now to London. He'll be meeting with Boris Johnson again, but to talk about free trade agreements, which is obviously key given Brexit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was so interesting seeing Scott Morrison with Joe Biden and Boris Johnson together like that. As you say, it was almost a show of strength given what we've been talking about over the past month or so with our relations with China, the drums of war beating. Do you think getting that show of solidarity from those leaders at G7 was important to ScoMo? Was that one of the main things that he was looking to get out of this?
Absolutely. And I think the G7, and particularly the G7 Plus, is really a show of democracies. It's really a meeting, a de facto meeting now of democracies that are, trying to stand up against authoritarian regimes such as China or Russia.
Yeah, well, because that was cyber terrorism was a topic as well, right? And the spreading of misinformation online, and China and Russia, I guess, have been talked about as key proponents of that. Now, looking at Scott Morrison and Joe Biden, we know that ScoMo had probably one of the closer working relationships with the previous US President, Donald Trump, than many world leaders. Is it an easy pivot for Morrison to then say, you know, sort of to break bread with Joe Biden?
I think Australia and the US have always had strong relations, and the Prime Minister said when Donald Trump left office that, you know, that would continue regardless of who was president. So there are reports today that there's a September meeting being planned, that the Prime Minister will travel to the US in September to commemorate and celebrate the ANZUS treaty. So, I think that he is very pragmatic in that sense. He needs to work with the US. The US is a key partner and ally of Australia. So, I just think that these meetings were very significant and will send a signal that all of the world's democracies are together.
Yeah, they're not going to be pushed around by the economic coercion, I think is the term that people are liking to use with China at the moment. The other thing that they wanted to send a message on was climate change. David Attenborough gave an impassioned plea to the G7 leaders about doing something on climate change. And I think they introduced an end to government subsidies of unadulterated coal burning. Australia is falling a little bit behind in some ways in targets. ScoMo came out and said afterwards that he was going to do what was best for Australia. How did you interpret those remarks?
Well, I think that what was key on climate change from this meeting was that in the very key meeting between Boris Johnson, Joe Biden and Scott Morrison, climate change wasn't discussed. Mm. And I think that's probably, regardless of what the Prime Minister came out and said after the meeting, that is probably the key signal that shows that Australia probably isn't there with other countries in terms of a commitment to combating climate change. We know that we haven't seen a commitment to net zero by 2050, a hard commitment, but the Prime Minister wants to use technology, not taxes. But I think it's very telling that that wasn't discussed in that very key meeting between those three leaders.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. And now, as far as Australia's, I guess, standing amongst these groups of leaders, do you think that our performance against COVID and our enviable economic position meant that we came into this summit maybe just ScoMo standing a little bit taller?
I think if you remember back, and I've written this in one of my columns, if you remember back to the first G7 that the Prime Minister was invited to, the group photo at the end, it was Prime Minister Scott Morrison standing very awkwardly by himself while Melania and Justin Trudeau and all the other world leaders were laughing, and he was just scrolling on his phone by himself. So I think you can see that this time Australia is being treated very differently, and we have built our standing in these dialogues, and that is a credit to Scott Morrison. And it is as well, particularly this year, as you rightly say, it is because we have handled COVID in a better way than any other country. We do have an enviable economic situation. But I do think the one thing that we are failing on with regards to COVID is the vaccine rollout. A lot of these other countries are much further along than we are. And some people perhaps looked at the Prime Minister's commitment to give 20 million vaccines to the developing world as what's going on here when we can't even get a vaccine in our own country.
I think we might have a lot of AstraZeneca doses left over from the over 50s who don't want them. So maybe they're the ones he's going to shuffle off. But it's, and so how do you think his performance over there has been interpreted here in Australia? Because in the past couple of years when he's met with Donald Trump, as obviously he was a very divisive figure, and ScoMo, he did cop it a little bit for some of the things that were said and done with those meetings with Donald Trump. To me, I looked at these meetings with Biden and Bojo as just really normal statesman behaviour.
And that's very much what Joe Biden wanted to bring back to global diplomacy, is this sense that you were able to get outcomes, that it wasn't all combative like it was when Donald Trump was president. So I do think that it probably is being received well by Australians here. I mean, everyone's on a long weekend in the eastern states, so perhaps they're not paying as much attention to it as Scott Morrison might like, but I do think he has done well on this trip. It's not over yet. He's going to London, and then he's also going to Paris to talk about our submarine deal. So
yeah, hopefully get that over the line. And so let's talk about Canberra, the culture in Canberra. Last time we spoke, we really were talking about what it's like in the bubble. We know that there have been a lot of issues this year in terms of the culture, things that are happening behind the scenes. Have you seen any noticeable changes?
Look, I think there's been a lot of talk, but I'm not sure that things have been done quickly enough. I'm not sure there's actually been actions yet. I know that from my discussions with staffers, that is frustrating them. There's still no HR department for staffers that they can go to talk about relevant issues that they have. So I would like to see more action and less talk, and hopefully we will get there in the next couple of months. The dark dark cloud that I guess I spoke about when we last spoke about this definitely has lifted, but it's now whether or not there will actually be change.
Mm. And do you think because there hasn't really been any obvious signs of that change, that there would be people there who maybe are now feeling a bit disillusioned and are fearful that that seeming momentum for change is disappearing?
Absolutely, and that's what people are reporting back to me. And the other concerning thing is that a lot of staffers still don't want to submit to the Kate Jenkins inquiry because they still feel that there's not enough protections in place for them, that there won't be ramifications for their job now or a job into the future. So I do think that more work needs to be done on that, because if those reviews are not conducted in the best way and everyone's not submitting to them, then we're not actually going to get the outcome. It will just be lip service.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when you're talking about people who, want to be in politics, they've gotten to Canberra, it's the absolute apex of their dream of working in politics. You're going to find a lot of people aren't going to be willing to throw that away when they're not sure if they're going to have protections for speaking out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, West Australian's federal political editor, Lani Scar, it's so great to have you in Perth for a change instead of speaking to you over the phone from Canberra. Thanks for being on The West Live.
Thanks for having me.